Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. All right, let's say you're going on a trip and you're on your way to the airport. Do you think about the drunk driver that just might veer into your lane and kill you? No, you probably don't. You get to the airport, you get on the plane, you sit down, maybe you're a little bit nervous. You overhear a conversation of some people next to you. Are you getting a little more nervous? Are you starting to fear?
Everyone just assumes that we're Muslims, we're terrorists, we're up to something. Every time we walk into the plane, that's kind of the regular stare we get from everybody.
Well, on New Year's Day this year, 9 people, including 3 young children, were removed from a flight headed to Orlando from Reagan National Airport in D.C. 8 of the 9 passengers were U.S.-born American citizens, but they were also Muslims, and 2 other passengers overheard what they thought was a suspicious remark, and the airline responded by kicking the family off the flight. Yet on New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve, 2 white American men planned and executed rampages without anyone suspecting anything in Aspen, Colorado. A series of homemade bombs forcing the evacuation of most of the downtown. And in the L.A. area, a man killed 9 people at a Christmas party in a hail of bullets and flames. So what are you afraid of, and what scares you, and what is actually likely to hurt you? It's a job for Freakonomics author Stephen Dubner. He's co-author of the book Freakonomics and writer of the blog. Stephen, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having
me. I tried to set up that premise. You know, what scares me is different from what's likely to hurt me. Help me out with this.
I think you set it up. I think my work here is done. Well, it turns out that human beings, for reasons that are probably pretty hard to understand, really, although a lot of people are trying, are really bad at risk assessment, okay? So we tend to fear the big, rare events, disaster preparedness, people call it the low probability, high consequence events, things that are very unlikely to happen. But if they do, it's really bad. Whereas the things that we should fear more, or at least take care of more, we just don't. Why our brains do that is a really interesting question that really has to be left to smarter people than I. It has to do with, you know, heuristics, these shortcuts about the way we think, the way we make decisions, especially in a short period of time. One thing I can tell you is this. It's probably pretty obvious to you guys and everybody listening to the show, but it's good to remind ourselves of it. The way our brain works when we need to make a decision is we call up our bank of information to make these shortcut decisions. And the things that tend to stick to our brains well are anomalies, okay? The big, weird, high-consequence, low-probability events that make the news.
And horrible pictures. Freakish events.
The freakish events, the outliers, the things that are not common. The reason – here's what – I remember when I studied journalism in college, the best thing I learned was the first day I sat down, the professor said, the root of news is new. People tend to forget that. If it's not new, for the most part, it won't be in the news. Now, politics gets covered all the time, but mostly what the news is a catalog of things that have not happened before. Therefore, they're presented in this dramatic way. Therefore, our brains suck them in. They sit there in our read-only memory waiting for some recall. But we forget that they're anomalous events and not typical events.
So is that to say our brains are processing the fact that while plane crashes are still as horrible as they are, always have been, they're less new than terrorist attacks on airplanes?
Yeah, absolutely. So when there's the big rare event, we tend to, you know, make it almost a normative event and think of it, you know, in totally the wrong way. So in other words, you know, one way to look at it, here's a totally different take on it, something that I've been thinking about a little bit lately. The last several years have been bad years for financial fraud. There's been a lot going on, Bernie Madoff being one example, but there being many examples, and not just fraud, but kind of finance gone wrong, where theoretically, more regulation from law enforcement might have done better.
We've heard of this. Yes.
You could make the argument that one of the reasons that regulation has been so lax, or not even regulation, but enforcement has been so lax, is because there was so much attention diverted to a different kind of crime, which was terrorism, right? Hmm. So after 9/11, you've got, and even within the FBI, now there's been some journalism on this, there should probably be a lot more. After 9/11, a lot of resources, manpower, money, attention, mind capital was diverted to taking care of the big rare threat.
Right.
Now, here's the thing, though. You can't say, well, we shouldn't worry about terrorism. It happened. 9/11 was a big, rare event. It was a black swan. We shouldn't worry about it again. You can't say that. Well, the problem is we can't measure how well the deterrence may have worked.
But just on a simple, to get back to your example, the person you know is far more likely to hurt you than the person you don't know. And that's just one of those basic fundamental facts that we hear over and over, but that doesn't seem to sink in.
It doesn't.
Do you want to just talk about that in relationship to the two examples?
I'll give a few examples of exactly. We fear strangers when, I'm not saying we should fear our friends, but we fear strangers way out of proportion to the likelihood that strangers will hurt us. In other words, let me give a few examples. In the U.S., the proportion of murder victims who knew their assailants to victims who were killed by strangers is about 3 to 1, okay?
Wow.
So you're about 3 times more likely to die if you get murdered, very rare event, but if you get murdered, it's probably going to be by somebody you know. Women who are raped or victims of aggravated assault, about 65 or 61% respectively, likely to have known their attacker. Here's one.
So more likely than not to have known their attacker.
Much more likely than not. Here's a big one. Child abduction, right? Whenever a stranger snatches a child, it's this huge, horrible event.
Amber alert.
You know, Amber alert.
Yeah, sure.
It's the shark attack of the human world. You know, it's very... Now, check this out. In one recent year for which a study was done in nearly 300,000, quote, abductions or instances in which a child was taken, nearly 300,000, 115 of them, 115, triple digits only, were actual kidnappings by a stranger. The rest were family, friend, estranged family member, and so on. So these events are very rare. And look, if you want to get real macro and get financial on us, the biggest financial fraud in history was perpetrated by a guy named Bernie Madoff who mostly took advantage of friends.
People he knew.
Allegedly.
Right, exactly. Right,
allegedly.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, let's get back to the original example. Is that to say, based on everything that you've told us, that white guys dressed in Santa suits upset at their ex-wives and sad guys in resort towns who are angry at the rich and have access to bombs needn't worry because they're never going to be as scary as Muslim terrorists?
I guess if you want to be as cynical as you might often be, John Hockenberry, you might say yeah, because you know, if you're the low risk looking type of guy who wants to do something bad, you'll probably be able to fly under the radar a long time. Absolutely.